ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين. صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, there is a saying, Mushk abayat ke khud bagoyat na ke attar bagoyat. Musk needs no advertisement. If it is genuine musk, then just one single drop would be enough for this entire masjid. Let that musk be genuine, original, undiluted, not mixed, absolutely pure. Small little bottle will cost you 10,000 to 15,000 rand. Small little bottle. But that is the musk that is undiluted. So this type of a musk doesn't require an extensive advertisement. It will speak for itself. Fragrance will go out, it will attract and invite. And people with eyes will see it, people that are fair and whose sense of smell is right, they will perceive it. Mutanabbi is a famous poet, right? The poets normally live at the generosity of kings. So they have to extol the virtues of the kings, and the kings will show their generosity. So when he speaks about Harun al-Rashid, so he says, وَلَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فِيهِمْ فَإِنَّ الْمِسْكَ بَعْدُ دَمِ الْغَزَالِ. That you're living amongst people together. Though outwardly, apparently it seems that you are living amongst people, you are a man, that's how it appears. But really you are not from amongst them. You are a class of your own, elevated. Like musk. So you made a claim, right? When you make a claim, then you need to support the claim. So look at musk. Musk in its original form, what is it? It's blood. In its original form, there's no value. If it gets into your hand, it's soiled, your clothing is soiled, you can't perform namaz, you have to wash it, it looks dirty, filthy. Right? But then, when it went through a transformation, and it's now turned to musk, now, people have to auction for it, to get a thing. Just now it was dirt and filth, and it went through a small little process, went through a transformation, and then, Zameen Asman ka farq hoya. So, Islam has got two sides, and both sides are obligatory. One is da'wat. Man ahsanu qawlan mimman da'a ila Allah. So to consider da'wat, an invitation, as an optional thing, or not a thing that is required in deen, is ignorance. Because the Quran Sharif is talking about the importance of da'wat. To advertise, to call towards the product. Product is Islam. To call, to invite towards this. So, this is the one side of Islam. But before we continue, then just to understand Dawat, and Dawat can be practiced by every individual. You don't have to be in a Tabligh Jamaat to do the Dawat. though this is a very effective style, Tabligh Jamaat, the way it carries on, it's a very effective way. But you don't have to be in the Jamaat to be doing Dawat. Because the tendency is, now I'm not in Jamaat, so, or you're not in Jamaat, you don't have to invite. Hey, you are a personification of invitation, embodiment of invitation. Wherever you are, then you have to work it out, alright, under the circumstance, then how do I invite towards this product? A man that is really obsessed, right, even in a Kabristan, he is looking for some idea. I'm selling kurta buttons, right? So I'm in the midst of a janaza, but I'm inspecting each person's button, which one looks more smart. But you see how the mind is consumed. Or if I'm selling topis, or at which topi is more popular, and how must I make a plan? How must I get it across? So my mind is working. So if we are obsessed with Islam and Deen, then in any situation, any given situation, then how must I attract towards Allah Ta'ala, towards the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, towards the Deen? How must I go about doing it? What is the best way? What is the most effective way under the circumstance? So, the one that thinks about it, the one puts his mind, then Allah Ta'ala opens ways for him as well. Al-Mu'atani Sahib Rahmatullah says that I boarded the train with Mu'asaharun Puri Sahib, Khalil Ahmad Sahib Puri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that is the Sheikh of the Sheikh, and Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So I boarded the train, and Al-Mu'atani Sahib Rahmatullah had the good fortune of being also the student of Mu'asaharun Puri, like he was a student of the Sheikh Hind Rahmatullah Ali. He was a student of Mu'asaharun Puri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali as well. Because Mu'asaharun Puri Sahib Rahmatullah had taught in Deoband for approximately 2.5 years. So in that period, he's a student as well. But the student and the teacher were so good, so open, that he won't find any hesitation in asking his student something that's troubling him, and he can't come to a finality, can't find a direction. So he won't find hesitation. Okay, I am the ustad and he is the student, and I am asking the student for some guidance. See, Islam is an open shop, and in this open shop everybody has to buy. And if I can't get it, I must get it from someone else, provided that person knows it. I got confidence in him, then I must ask him, I must refer to him. But if I have the attitude, no, I know it all, and I don't need to learn from this person here. Obviously, you have closed your shop. You're a closed shop. And that is an open shop. Take. So, Mawla says that whilst we are seated, Mawla Sahar Puri Sahib Rahmatullah asked me the meaning of Ishraf. You know, Ishraf is, one is to ask, right? To asking someone verbally, openly asking the person for a favor or something. And the other is, you don't ask him directly, you allude. Somehow, say, you know, I can also receive zakat, you know. So I didn't ask you for the money, but in an indirect way, I'm alluding, you know, that I'm in need, you can help, you can support me. So in a very sophisticated way, you ask the person, can you help me? So it's a little bit difficult to ask the person direct. You're walking past your friend and he's having a pizza. Assalamu alaikum, how are you, bhai? So you can see very well that I didn't ask him. He asked me to join him. Right? But what was the intention of passing that way? You went that way so that he may offer you a pizza. And you say, no, this is a formal. No, sorry, it's alright. So no, don't mind, sit down. Sit down, sit down. So one is it's a normal way and one is the sophisticated way. So both are not right. Ishraf is not right. So Mawla Sahar Puri Sahib is asking Hazrat Mawla Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, see, both of us going to an invite to this person here. Right? And it is his way that when we go there, he gives us some presents, whether it's cash or kind. But that's his routine. Now, if we reject the gift he feels hurt about it. And if we do receive the gift, when knowing that this is his style, then will this amount to israf? Can you understand the question? If you are going to reject it, then you may hurt the person. And if you're going to accept it, you know well in advance that this person, this is his routine, he will give you something. So will this amount to that impermissible israf? So now look at how they answer. The Buzurgana Deen, they learn, they're traveling, they're learning Deen, perfecting Deen. Nothing stops them. But then just see how they conduct themselves. So he says, Hazrat, really I didn't know the answer for this question here. But now, with the barakat of your presence, the answer just came to my mind now. See how he's wording himself. The barakat of your presence, the answer just dawned upon me now. So he says, what comes to my mind, if it's right, from Allah Ta'ala, if it's wrong, then take it from me. So, he says that if you go there, and say, for example, for some reason, he doesn't give you a gift. If you find any type of a complaint within your mind, you know, any type of a grievance, any type of ill feeling, in any type of dissatisfaction, what happened? His routine is normally to give me a gift. Why didn't he give me a gift this time? You know, why didn't he look at us favorably? Then this will amount to israf. But if he gave it or he didn't give it, it doesn't make a difference. You don't feel that your relationship has snapped or weakened or there is any type of an indifferent attitude that he's showing. You don't feel anything in it. Then understand it to be not israf. Understand that your heart is right. But more time is my ustad, was greatly satisfied with the answer. So, the one end of deen is dawat. Dawat, like in our colloquial, is like an advertisement. You've got a product, and the product has to be advertised, right? So it has to be done. Because it's an obligation. مَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِنْ مَنْ دَعَ كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ Right? So there's so many Quranic verses speaking about it. So one effective way that every person can implement and apply within his circumstances to the extent that I can reach. Obviously I can reach to the people that I've got influence over. I've got my children, I've got influence over them. I've got my staff and I got some influence over them. Some of my clientele, they will refer to me in many other areas. I can talk to them, right? So the areas that you can talk about, then don't hesitate talking about it. Provided you know how to present it. Now some persons, they don't have common sense, they don't know how to present. So if you use your mind, you will know how to present it. Alright, what is the circumstance and how do I present it? What is the circumstance and how do I present it? Now both are important to understand circumstance and to understand presentation, both are important. Sometimes you do not know the circumstance and you make a presentation, you can cause a problem. So the presentation is important, circumstance also is important. Right? Hadith Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah Ali is a great muhaddis. Right? Our line of thought, the whole Dioban line of thought is coming from Hadith Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib and his father, Hadith Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. That's where we're acquiring the science of hadith, and that is where we're acquiring our line of thinking. See, we've got a certain way of thinking, so the line of thinking is coming from there, starting off from there. So he's conducting his dars in the masjid, in Delhi somewhere. And from the distance, he spots one student coming in. And somehow, Allah gave him that understanding to perceive that the student that is coming in to sit in the masjid and attend the dars, he needs an obligatory bath. But now, just for the fear that he may miss out lessons and I may reprimand him, so he's coming in, and he's coming in without ghusl into the masjid to attend the lesson. I made it out that this is what's going to happen. Now, Shah Abdul Aziz thinks for that moment, if I'm going to rectify this student on the spot, then he will not take it so well. To spite the person, to smash the person, or to show him a point. See, sometimes it happens that we are doing something to show the person a point that I am the authority, you take the instruction from me. Now, if you got that mindset, you've lost. Listen, respect my authority, take it from me. Now, it happens many a times in a boss and a worker situation. So, if that's going to be the relationship in deen, then you're not going to be winning. There was one Hafiz Sahab that used to be the teacher of Muhammad Ilyas Sahab rahmatullah alayhi. So he picked up the cane to discipline one student. So as he picked up the cane, the child held on to the cane. So the Hafiz Sahab that was a teacher straight away left the cane. And he says, "Ab to marne ka zamana khatam ho gaya." Now it's not the time to hit. He understood now. I'm going to force my way, pull it out, give it to him. Then I'm trying to impress upon him that you must respect authority. And on the side of the child, he will grow to hate Islam. He will grow to dislike deen. But have I got anything across him? Have I got the product of Islam? Or is he further away from Islam? What has happened? Yes, I got him to respect authority, right? That's in his place. But did I push my product? Did I further my product? I haven't done that. Sab to marne ka zamana chala gaya. He just put the stick aside. I said, no, I have to change the whole strategy to understand. Now, to understand the strategy, that is a science on its own. Every strategy cannot be used in every situation. Sometimes it's going to be a firm approach, sometimes it's going to be a soft approach. Now, to understand Dawah, then those that have excelled in Dawah, you have to see how they do the Dawah. Doing Dawah how we feel may not show that type of results. Yes, those people that are in it. Now, they spend some time. They spent the time with the elders. They understood it again and again. They have been through it. So their methodology will be perfected. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is in the masjid, and one villager comes across and goes on the side of the masjid and urinates. So the Sahaba Kiram all over to stop him straight away. Obviously, if something happens here in Ashwell, the side of the masjid, forget side of the masjid, outside the masjid also, there'll be 50 people that will say, "Hey, what are you doing here?" You stop him. Won't we? That will be the immediate response. So the wisdom stops them by, "Don't do this. This person is coming from the sticks. He doesn't know urban life. It's his first impression of Islam. If he's going to go with a wrong impression, alright, you know, this Muslims, Islam, and with this aggression they have treated me. So, understand that this is his first encounter, first impression. Is he going to leave the masjid with a good frame of mind or with a negative frame of mind? How is he going to leave?" So, Nabi Sallam is very calculated. From the human being, he's the most perfect. His lessons will be most complete. Balance, complete, perfect, right? There's no deficiency in his teaching. Absolutely no deficiency. And he says, no, but just leave the person. Let him carry on. But now how to present them? See? So now this presentation, if it was not important, Nabi Sallam would not have corrected them. So if you're doing that presentation while, so I'm doing Dawah, what's wrong? I can shout and I can do whatever I want. Now, you may get it off your chest, but is that the way to do the Dawah? Or are you distancing the person away from Islam, distancing him away from deen, distancing him away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How are you doing it? So to understand the circumstance, who are you working with? But now you see how Nabi Sallam conducts himself. And thereafter, when he's finished, so now Nabi Sallam then calls him and corrects him. Well, this is how you're supposed to be doing things. This is not a place for this. Now, nicely, respectfully. Some similar hadith, when Nabi Sallam, the person makes a mistake, so he says, you know, with what kindness and compassion Nabi Sallam has taught me, I haven't seen a teacher as great as Nabi Sallam, as good, as compassionate, as loving like him, not before him and not after him. Now this is the impression, first impression that he's got with the personality. That is of love, compassion and understanding. So won't the person love Islam? won't he love Allah Ta'ala? Won't he love Islam? Won't he love Allah Ta'ala? Won't he love Deen? Won't he love Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? That is why many times when we are call it converts, people make an issue of the right. But many times I fail to understand what they're talking about, convert and revert and all that. They don't know what they're talking about. And I got proof to say that they don't know what they're talking about, right? When they say revert and convert and all that, right? But what a big deal. So now, when you're working with this group of people, right, that are new in Islam, then even if you haven't made the person a hafiz or mulana, didn't make him. It's not a loss. Yes, he must leave you with this frame of mind that I love Islam. I love Allah Ta'ala. I love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So there is some type of a hope that this person will remain in Islam. It's because of your interaction, how you dealt with the person, how you spoke with him, the level of ikram that you showed, right? So he's taken a liking for Islam. When he's taking a liking for Islam, he may not do 100%, but really, you know, in the words of Caesar, Caesar, in the words of Herakl, كَذَلِكَ الْإِسْلُمَانِ إِذَا يُخَالِتُ إِذَا خَالَتَ بَشَاشَتَهُ الْقَلْبِ. When the sweetness, you know, the taste of Islam, when it penetrates the heart, then the person can't leave Islam. The one that leaves Islam, na'uzubillah, Allah protect us all, right, can't be boasting. It's only the grace of Allah Ta'ala. The one that leaves Islam is because he hasn't acquired the taste. Who's acquired the taste, he can't leave Islam. Like I ask you, can you leave your spices, masalas and that? Why? Taste. Once you've got the taste, you can't leave it. I ask any of you, right, can you leave out sugar for 3 days? One day or three won't last, I think. You acquired the taste, hey, there's something wrong with it, there's nothing here. Won't you say that? Biscuit, tea, chocolate, hey, right, give it to someone else, I'm wasting time. Won't you have that? So when you acquire the taste of Islam, then you can't leave it. But you bring yourself to a very important point, you see. The one that is writing about Islam, right, he must acquire the flavor of Islam. And if he hasn't acquired the flavor of Islam, right, he's a non-Muslim, but he hasn't acquired the flavor of Islam, and you're reading his book, but you won't be motivated. Because he doesn't know what Islam is all about, the flavor of Islam. So in order to speak about Islam, he needs to acquire the flavor. When he's acquired the flavor now, within his book, you can see now, he's got the taste. He's captured the taste. So he's presenting it correctly. But he himself is not practicing it. Imagine if this Randers Road Masjid, right? You've got F&B bank manager to come and give a talk on interest. Will it leave any mark on anybody? Hey, get your act right. What are you doing? It won't. He hasn't acquired the flavor of Islam. He hasn't acquired the taste of Islam, and he's just talking some just repetition of words. He learned some book and all that, and he's coming to repeat his lesson before us. So he's not going to move you at all. And the reason for it is obvious, he hasn't acquired the taste. So before you're getting into any book or any lecture, then try and work out, by this person, has he got the taste of Iman? Has he got the taste and the flavor of Deen? If he's got it, then he's speaking right. Even though then his talk may be very simple, down to earth, he's talking about just on the 6 points. But really, that talk will definitely leave its mark. Because a man has got the taste. Right? He's packaging it in a very simple way. You can see, when you just open the box, you find this man really got it. But the person that hasn't acquired, and you're reading his articles, then it's possible that it will lead you away from Islam. Reading the article, and the more you're reading his articles, it's leading you further and further and further away from him. That's the problem. So what we're getting at, that every person can do da'wat. Every person. I just branched up a little bit, give some examples, right? And I was talking about Shah Abdul Aziz Sahab. Let me complete the story, right? So Shah Sahab made out that this person is coming to enter the class, and he requires a farz ghusl. Now, I don't want to break the person. See, that's one case. I showed you just now, Nabi Sassan, and he understands the person, so he says, don't stop the person. Don't stop the person. After that, he was correct, alright, whichever way. Shah Sahib also doesn't correct him straight away. So what he says to the students, he says, we'll be taught today, mera ji tafri karne ko chahta hai. Chalo zara, jamna kara. Feel a little bit hot today, and let's go for a little bit of a drive, for a little bit of a walk on the banks of the Jamna. You know, Ganga and Jamna, famous rivers of India. Let's go on the bank. Obviously, we want to go on the beach side. Let's cool off. Right. So now the student is getting a little bit worried. What happened now? Here? Now, as they come up to the Jamna River, Shah Sahib says, all right, we are here already. Zara, hum naha bhi le. Student, obviously, in a hot day. Let's have a bath. So they came out, so right, up to naha chuke. Zara, sabak bhi par le. Sabak ko kyun rehne jaye. So we are here already now. So we took a bath, now we are relaxed and we calm. Can't we just complete the lesson for the day? Now that student is thanking Allah Ta'ala. He's got no more words to thank Allah Ta'ala. Okay, Shah Sahib concealed my faults. He didn't advertise it, corrected me, and the thing is done. The whole plane has been leveled. But with what beauty it's been done. Now this student remembers this for the rest of his life. But now you see how he needs to package it. So, to understand the client, and then to package it accordingly. That's the duty of the da'i, the one that is advertising the product, must understand this thing. It's not that the da'i cannot have any mistakes. Can have any mistakes. You have to learn, you have to correct himself. Right? There may be mistakes here and there, but because of the mistakes now, it mustn't mean that he leaves out the da'wah. You'll stumble here and there, whatever type of mistakes. You may stumble, but you'll have to correct yourself and continue. Our marhum, Shota Mohda Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, Allah fill his grave with noor. He was explaining one of his experiences. So in his day, in the late 60s, when he started all that maktab work and all that, premas and all that, so there were a lot of mixed marriages and people very weak in Islam, you know, just borderline cases. So he was working on the back on all these people, all these type of cases, to bring them Islam, to Islam. So anyway, on the one end he has to bring them, win them. On the other end, he has to supervise the maktabs that are in his control. So, whilst doing the supervision, so he saw that one child wasn't paying attention or he didn't know his lesson, and he spanked him. Not very hard, he spanked him. Alright, thereafter, it was brought to his attention, you know what, that this child, he's come from this type of a background. He's new. He bought one gift or something. He went to the house. Knocked at the door. So really, I didn't know the background. Cried a little bit. Sure, he was a very soft person. He would cry. He offered the gift. I said, Bacha, I didn't know about this. I'm sorry about it. Please accept this gift. From that family, three children became Hafiz. Went to Miyaswam and became Hafiz after that. But now, the approach to understand the circumstance, after you understood the circumstance, now apply the right type of approach. How do you present Islam to this type of a situation? So that everybody can do. And the people that are under your influence, your children, your wife, your household, your immediate friends, after all, WhatsApp messages, do you send all around? You got a group, you sending a message, they sending a message. So can't you, in your own way, to the people that come under your influence, can't you correct them? You can't say you can't correct them. Your children, you can influence them. Your wife, you can influence. Your immediate circle, your brothers, you can influence. To the extent that you can influence, you talk about it. Somewhere you have to be a little bit hard, somewhere a little bit soft, somewhere moderate. You can't be soft everywhere, and you can't be hard everywhere, and you can't be moderate everywhere. The child doesn't want to go to school, then we say, better, nice if you go to school. When you have that approach, then you are hard. You're a little bit firm. There's some place you have to be firm. It's your own child. So the same will apply to da'wah. Some places you have to be firm. Like I say, you can make a mistake there. Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, is on the mimbar on a Jummah. Right? Masjid al-Nabawi is obviously Jummah. It's packed capacity. Obviously, from the neighboring villages, everybody will be. And just then, Usman al-Ghani, as he's sitting on the minbar, Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu pulls in. So as he comes in, says Umar radiallahu anhu from the minbar, in the crowd, he's directing his address to Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu. Juma, and you're coming so late. That's the essence of the da'wah, right? So Usman radiallahu anhu says, no, I was consumed in some work, and I heard the azan, and immediately I made wudu and came in. So he corrected him for the second time. Well, wudu either. Just wudu when you came in. Don't you know you must make ghusl and come to masjid? Now that was a different kettle of fish. So he knew who he's speaking to. When he knew he's speaking to, so he could address him like that. And then Usman al-Ghani doesn't have any qualms in relating and reporting his hadith. Had he had any, he felt, you know, log mujhe kya kahenge, mera naam ka kya hoga, you know, how will I feel now, you know, I can't be with them. As Usman would have not reported this. But he's reporting that he's, no embarrassment, no shame about reporting this. So now, some places you have to be very careful, some places you have to be straight, right? Some places you have to be moderate, and some places you will have to respect and guard the person's integrity. Now this all is dawah, you see. And now we don't understand. We don't understand anything, we just pick up, yeah, why is this mu'ayyadik bidat here? Is you haram? Hey, he's like this. This new bidat started here. See. So now all this thing happens when the knowledge is deficient. Because of the deficiency of knowledge, then you make this type of sweeping statements. And you don't realize that you're not qualified to say this. You're not qualified to say that. What makes you say it? You just read it somewhere and say, no, I read it. But are you qualified? Do you have that level of knowledge and understanding? Are you mature enough to speak like this? Then you don't have that maturity. Then accept it that I don't have the maturity. Why must I speak? Why must I pretend to be someone that I'm not? If someone said it, right? He said it, he's got a little bit of a position why he said it. So people will accept him. But for you, is it right for you to imitate him? You don't have the right to imitate him. You remain in your position, let him remain in that person, his position. But you don't have a right to imitate him. You're going to imitate him, you're going to miss things out, right? The boss in a shop, he's got a right. Hey, why did you come late? He can shout you. But if the staff says, hey, why came late? Hey, who are you? You're not my boss. The boss got the right. He can speak like that. You can't speak in that authority. You're going to mess up things. You're going to cause a fight. Unnecessary. You don't require this. No, he said it. This one said it. So this is right. You must stand for this. So now this is deficient knowledge. Deficient understanding. Right. So many a times, complaints will be referred to Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah in his zamana that this Maulana is doing this. And this Maulana is doing this. Complaints are reaching him. And Maulana is thinking to himself that I can make a sweeping statement against Hazrat Maulana. He's bidat, he's doing haram, he's doing wrong. I can do that. But now, just to make that statement without verifying will not be right. I need to verify the whole thing. What happened? I'll investigate the case. Verify the thing, right? And then in an appropriate manner, I need to correct it. People are looking at him to emulate. They're looking at him and they want to emulate him. Now you broke him down, right? When you broke him down, now who are they going to follow? Where are they going to get the example from? I ask you. You shout at the person, straight. Now you cut off his speech, you broke him down completely. Now they want someone that they can emulate. Are you there? You're not there. To khud to karta nahi. Or kisi ko karne nahi deta. You're not doing it yourself. And the one that is doing it, you're not allowing him to do it. So mostly I thought of all these things that before I write it, before I put pen to paper, then I do all this. See, the mistake, some of the reason of the mistakes today is that is a computer zaman. You know? And that computer zaman is creating a lot of complications. Because before, in the old zaman, what it used to be like, I need to write something. I need to have a fountain pen. Suck the ink, right? Fountain pen. Then I look for a writing pad. Right? Then I have to write that thing. You know, looking now, what I'm writing, one line I'm writing, then he's smudging and putting a blotter to blot that thing off. Right? Writing the second line, the third line. Then I'm reading the whole letter again. Then I'm looking for an envelope. Before I look for the envelope, I thought, hey, did I write the right things or wrong things? Then I'm correcting it again, second time, third time. Then I have to go to buy a stamp. In the process, I think of the letter again. Was it the right thing to say? Then I'm erasing something again. Then eventually I found the envelope. I put the letter in that I got the stamp, taking it to the post office. So it's a long procedure. Before I come to that position, then it's going to take about 3-4 days. So a lot of thought has gone into it before that thing is sent. Now something came to mind. Computer age. Just press send it straight away. Just do it. And unfortunately, this just do it is a Nike symbol. And we don't know it. And the Nike stands for Shaitan. So I ask you, whose agency are you propagating? If you got this type of an attitude, just send it, just wipe the person out. So my thing, I have to think of all this. He may be the example that they emulate in that entire area. Right? He may be not 100%. So for them, he's the right person. For them, for the commitment they are giving, they are giving a 20% commitment, he's 90%, so he's the right person for them. Now you are not there, you say to be, you claim to be 100%, but you are not there. And these people are 20%. Now I ask, what will happen to these people? That 20% they got, they will lose that as well. Everything will be lost. So mostly I have to be very, very calculated as to how I answer these people. Because if I say that what he's doing is the right, I'm supporting the wrong. I can't support the wrong, and I can't condemn him straight. Now, how do I correct this whole situation? So, my wife used to say, you know what I do normally is, I don't think what you have quoted is right. Maybe it's a misquote, or it's a misunderstanding. Right? But if you are sure, you are dead sure that what you are saying is right, then get him to write it. Let him write the thing in his own hands, and let him sign for it, and I'll receive this. Then I can make a statement. But before this, I can't make a statement. I don't know if you misunderstood, you're misconstruing facts, whether you're quoting, not quoting, how you're quoting, I don't know. In the meanwhile, this message would have reached that person there, and he'll be cautious, you know, hey, Muaz after me. So he'll be cautious on his side. But now look what a perfect example of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How calculated, how perfect. I ask you, with such people, can there be confusion? Can there be problems? There can't be problems. Now, when you don't go through this type of a process, with this type of a rigid training, right, these are the mistakes that you make afterwards. And now we think, you know, we make a lot of dini khidmat. By kya khidmat hua hai? We're creating despondency, confusion, mistrust. You know, when you are following someone, then you have a level of trust. And because of the level of trust, you follow the person. But if the trust is lost, if the confidence is lost, will you follow the person? Right. So we are talking about, start off the talk with musk, right? And all the different, I suppose, the fragrances of musk diluted in different forms going around, inshallah. Right. So the one side of deen is to do da'wah, right? But now, doing da'wah, is not a guarantee that you have got entire deen. That is one side. Da'a ila Allah wa amila saliha. You must be right as well. Your amal must be right. Otherwise, it's like take an example. I've got a dealership for fridges, right? I've got a dealership for D5 fridges or stoves, right? Kabhi baaze doston ko dekh karke misale samajh mein aa jati. So he's got a dealership, for example, for fridges and stoves, right? Defined. Now, I got my man on the road, then I just passed the word on for this fridge. So people come to the dealership, right? Now they come and see all broken things on. The handles are not right, the thing is not working right, or smelling, the fridge is smelling itself, nothing is right in the fridge. I ask you, Are you doing an advertisement for that product, or are you chasing away people? So if you want people to buy into your product, then you need to be an example as well. So like you need to advertise the product, simultaneously you have to get the product right as well. So if you look into the life of Mohammed Sabram, this is what he was aiming at. I need to get both right, get the dawah right, but get the product right as well. They must be perfect. So while they are by me, then I'm going to grill them, correct them for the smallest mistakes, and I need to correct them. Not going to correct them, they're going to go with a bad advertisement. The advertisement they're going to give out there will be not right. So they need to go out, right? And they need to do the dawah. But they themselves must be examples. Now, to make yourself into musk, a man, right? To make himself a man, right? Then what does it take to make a man a man? He's a man, right? I need to make the man a real, genuine man. So what does it take to make a man a man? Now that's the important question, that how and what are the things to put into him, to pack into him, to make him a genuine man, right? That's why Mu'arrum says, Ika bini khilaf Adam mikuni. Adam nest khilaf Adam. He says, when you see a person, he's working against against the expectations of man, what is expected of man, but he doesn't behave, he doesn't have that behavior, then he is not a man. Ghilafi Adamist. He is just the costume of a man. You see the man, right? But he's not working like how a man is, he's not behaving and not conducting himself like how a man is supposed to be conducting himself, then this is not a man. He's just got a costume of a man. So now, what are the ingredients that are supposed to be packed in to this person to make him a man? That's the important thing. And Mu'az's whole figure was this. I need to pack this person up. So wherever he's going, he'll be one individual, but he'll be impressing upon so many people. This person, that person. I may not be having a big crowd, but the small crowd that I've got, I'm making them into men. So he's one side, Hazrat is working. One side, Shafi Sahib is working. My Brasab is working. But they are drawing the multitudes. So he's packed them up properly. When he's packed them up properly, now they can attract. And they can show to mankind by what it takes to make a man. So in order to make them men, then he needs to see the problems. If he doesn't know and doesn't understand problems, can he rectify? I say your car is very good. But for me to say your car is very good, I need to know the problems. I can rectify the car. Then you can say, check the car properly. And I say, no, it's very good. Then it's misguiding, misleading the person. One, in that zamana now, 1920s, 30s somewhere, so there was one Nawab. So he had to make his Islah and recuperate as well. Recuperating and Islah. So he had some heart problem. So the doctors advised him, so you go to a little bit of a rural area, quiet area, and inshallah you recuperate nicely. And here you're living in a town, it's not good for you. The Nawab is like you know, you've got a premier of the whole of Natal. So Nawab is so influential and so wealthy. So now he came in with an entourage of about 250 people to stay at Thanabon for about a year, 2 years. Now for them, he had to build homes and all that. You can imagine, he's got his specialists, his doctor, his cook, his butler, all, everybody came in. 250 people came in. And he's got that amount of wealth. And his school, Jan Piyari Neyoti. Everybody, for everybody, life is very precious. Whatever, Mullah, do anything just to save the life. Doctor, do anything to save the life. You know, I came back 1981 somewhere. So, one Musalli, if you know, my first grandchild, he's on life support. I got 20 surgeons and specialists just to attend to the child. After about a day or so, he phoned Mama. Takdeer mein likha nahi tha. It wasn't in Takdeer. Man, the child passed away. So nobody can stop the decision of Allah Ta'ala. In Indian recorded history, there's an incident about 120, 130 years ago. A train is moving, right? And the woman is in labor. in the labor or she has to go to toilet. Now, in the toilet, as she's, now she delivered the child. And the, I don't know if you see the olden toilets in India, with a big hole, right? So all the mess is just going to the, on the railway line. Now, in that, that whole child just dropped. Can you imagine? But it just dropped inside. Now, she became frantic. First child, she went and pulled that chain. There's a chain there. Right? So that will alarm the driver. The driver will stop the train. So the driver stopped the train. So this woman came and complained what happened. She was moving at a speed. So we had to come a little bit in reverse to locate the place that he walked. He saw the child is shaking, moving around and licking onto his thumb. Grabbed the child. Like a hero, he came, presented the child to the mother. But what I'm showing, La mani ali ma atait, wala mohti ali ma manat. Jisko bachana hai, to koi rok nahi sakta. Or jisko le jana hai, koi mana nahi kar sakta. Allah Pak wants to take, nobody can take away. And who Allah Pak wants to give, nobody can stop. Don't you see that? When Allah Pak wants to save, nobody can stop. And when Allah Pak wants to take, nobody can give. So that's Allah. Many a times, you know, Jamaat says this word, but it takes you time to understand what they're talking about. Yaqeen ki kamzori. All, but you see all the mishaps and inconsistency, etc., is the problem with yaqeen. If you are convinced about Qiyamah, standing before Allah Ta'ala, right, and presenting every small and big detail before Allah Ta'ala, you think you behave how you behave now. But you don't have the level of yaqeen. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّي We are torn to bits when we hear about SARS. SARS. Now, kya ho jayega? SARS. Tomorrow, SARS meeting. Or SARS are coming tomorrow. What happened? So when you are, let's take it to the other side. But Uplan, take it somewhere else. Don't you make all the arrangements? Eh? You're so scared about it. Now, here is a creator. You can't hide anything from it. مَالِ هَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا This kitab, everything is got into, in detail. You can't hide a single thing from Allah. Others you can hide, right? This for whatever you can hide, in whichever way, you can hide away, right? But can you hide a single thing from Allah? You can't. So if that yaqeen dawns, you know, hey, usse to koi cheez chup nahi sakta, you can't get away. Now, just now will be Ramadan, there will be Hajj season, right? But insan is just coming, about yaqeen. You know? I'll come back to this insan, what it takes to make a man. But get your yaqeen, right? Then everything will work out. And since we've got some woman audience also, maybe the story will open the yaqeen even further. It's a story in India, about 130 years ago, right? 150 years ago, before the train would start. So, she's grazing a sheep in some pastures and she sees a caravan of horses. That time, trains, caravan, horses, all moving. So she asks, "Ye kiski barat hai?" Barat means like a wedding party, right? So they're going to fetch the bride. So whole barat will go, about 100, 200 people will go to fetch the bride. So ye kiski barat hai? Ye barat to nahi hai. Ye to haj ka kafla hai. This is not barat, not a wedding party. This is a whole group going for Hajj. Hajj mein kya hota hai? What happens in Hajj? Wahan par khuda ka ghar hai, Allah Pak's house. Now she is an ignorant woman, she doesn't know much about Islam. But when she heard khuda ke ghar ko pahunch raha hai, they're going to the house of Allah Ta'ala, she got shaken up. She left her sheep as they were. She said, main aapke saath jurta hu, I'm joining myself. Now they said, they thought to themselves, now this woman is talking Josh, you know. Abhi hosh hai. Aane ke liye der hai. She's not in her senses. She's just overwhelmed with emotions and she's joined the kafla. By the second day, she's still walking and she's walking with even more fervor and speed. So now they got scared. They said, Khala, ek din ka safar nahi hai, kahi din ka safar hai. Tumhare paas sawari nahi hai. You don't have a vehicle, you don't have a conveyance. It's not a one day's journey, it's several days' journey. So you better go home. So no, I didn't ask you for anything, I asked you for anything. But I didn't ask you, then you keep quiet, I'm just with this. So no, Appa, you have, so no, I didn't ask you for anything, so you can't stop me. See that muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala struck. See, every Muslim has got that muhabbat. But just as someone's muhabbat is more strong, see that fuel in him is more inflammable. So you just need a little bit of exposure and you see how it flames up, how it brightens up. So this woman, I would assume, if she wasn't the Rabia Basri of her time, she must be the Khamisa. You know? She was a Rabia Basri. She had that yaqeen. And she's moving on. Then by the second or fourth day, you know, Atta, alright, I feel sorry for you now. You join, you take one of this thing. I didn't ask you for anything. I didn't ask you for anything. I don't need your camel. I'm joining this whole kafla because it's not right for a woman to travel alone, right? Therefore, I join a kafla. And then you can have wolves and all that on the road. That can be a little bit dangerous for me. So, therefore, I join a kafla. But I don't need you people. By the fifth day, they realize now they're still on to the port in Karachi. That time, two ports, Karachi and Bombay, right? So, by the fifth day, they made out, Yeto Allah Ali. This is a buzru, this woman here. He's a Allah wala. He's a wali of a time. Now, the whole approach chain, please, for Allah Pak's sake, now, you know what, please just join us. You know, for our sake, for our good, please join us. It'll be an honor for us. Now, when she saw that these people have humbled themselves, just to appease them, so, alright, now I'll join. Now, yahan tak ke Karachi pahunch gaye. Now, Karachi, what are you going to do? You need money, there. Now this woman's karamat just showed at that point. In Karachi, as they reach Karachi, the harbor there. So the captain of the ship says, I don't want to sell tickets individually. You charter the whole ship and take it. So they made out, this is woman's karamat, right? It's chartered, now you can do as you want, take how many, who you want. One, two passengers won't make a difference. So this woman got a free ride right to Jeddah. Now they think, from Jeddah, how is she going to make her way? From Makkah, and then from Makkah to Medina, how is he going to make her way? Now, as that caravan starts moving, there was one woman who was quite wealthy in that group, and she lost her friend. Now, they're moving in camels, right? And that camel has got a carriage, right? And the carriage works in such a way, I remember my aunt Foy, she's late now, right? She was about 92 when she passed away, right? She passed away about 7-8 years ago. So she was explaining to me that how they travel by that hodaj, they call it hodaj, shugduf, or carriage, whatever. So she said, you need to balance the thing, right? One person will be sitting on this side of the camel, one side, one person will be sitting on that side. Now that woman sat and she passed away. Now when she passed away, you can't really balance. Now this wealthy woman is going to this buzuk auntie, please, I didn't ask you. I'll walk my way. And then she's begging and begging. Eventually she gave her enough. So her road right to Medina and back to Jeddah is worked out. See, karne wali kon, kis ki zaat hai? Bhai, have that trust in Allah Ta'ala, have that yaqeen. What has happened today, what's wrong with us today, is all our yaqeen is in that mal. I got this, I must have that wealth, I must have this insurance, that type of a medical plan, that type of a medical cover, and this cover I need, then my life can work. Then where's the yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala? Where's Allah Ta'ala? You've got all your trust in everything else, then where is Allah Ta'ala? This poor little woman, she is teaching us yaqeen. She's embarrassing us, because she shepherded, so as to say, and that's the level of yaqeen that she's got in Allah Ta'ala, without any material. She's just left her sheep there, and she's gone. Now they finished and came back to Jeddah, and it's a question how to come back to India. Now Allah Pak made it such, you know, in those days, you're going for Hajj and coming. I can remember in 1960, we go first at Hajis from the airport, right? Then at that time, it should be at least about a 4 month job, right? But I suppose at that time, when you're using camels and all that, it must be about a 1 year job from India and back. So now, in the meanwhile, kisi ka ek bachcha paida hua, kisi ka do bachche paida hua. In the en route now, one child is born, someone got two children, that side, so many children are born, they bring their children back. Ab ye bimar ho raha, ye bimar ho raha, someone is getting sick this side here, they try that medication, this medication is working out. Eventually say, hey, this buzruk auntie, let's take our children there. She's making a fluke decision, it's coming right. That's coming, making fluke dumb, it's coming right. Lucky they didn't learn about the Rukya specialist. And just coming right. So as children are coming right, they are coming, becoming more and more impressed about this auntie. Now you're going to jump in the Shepudas. They're giving up gifts. That wealthy auntie, she said, hey, take all my jewelry. You can use it as you want. I know you're a wali, so you'll use it for the right cause, just take it. They're giving gifts, the children are becoming right, everything's coming right, everything is working well. In the meanwhile, one person, Hafiz Yusuf, right, that was his name, was relating this incident to us, Mohan Thami Saratari. Mohan Thami is relating it to us, but some Hafiz Yusuf is relating it to Mohan, right, who witnessed this whole thing. His eye became very interested in this auntie here. So I located her place, I went to her gown, and I found out from who is this auntie here. So the children said, you know what happened? We were waiting for our mother to come back, and she didn't come. So we went to the spot, we saw the sheep. You know, as she left them, we saw them. Nothing is disappeared from them. So we heard of the sheep. Looking for our mother, high and low, 1-2 days can't find her. So we left her for dead. Perhaps a bull came and attacked her, and she's gone. So we just made some fatih and all that, and ended the whole thing up. In the meanwhile, after 1 year, this aunt, my mother comes back. I'd be surprised. She's healthy, and she's got so much of money, everything came back. And in her absence, her crops also grew. Doubled or tripled, whatever. But in absence, everything happened. So, we batara was, khuda ki taraf yaqeen karo, khuda ki zaat ke upar. Have that yaqeen, trust in him. Allah Pak wants us to do it. Wa ala Allahi fatawakkalu in kuntum mu'min. Allah Pak is appealing to your conscience, right? That if you believe in me, if you have faith in me, trust me. The husband says to the wife, trust me, right? The wife says, all right, you know, you got guests coming in, trust me, I'll sort the biryani out. I'll sort it out, right? So just trust me, I'll do it. Isn't it the right thing to trust the person? And if there's no trust, then how can the marriage work? So your relationship with Allah Ta'ala, if you don't trust Allah Ta'ala, how can it work? Allah Ta'ala says, trust me, I'll do it for you. So no, what? I don't have this cover here, I don't have this thing here, how is it going to work for me? So anyway, talking of this, Nawab Sahib, and he's come to spend about 1 or 2 years in Tanabon. How many minutes was that? 2 minutes. So now, as he's here in Tanabon, he's settled nicely. So normally in the madrasas, etc., after Asr is at the free time. You go and just freshen up. In the green, the pastures, you go out and freshen up. So one of the persons that is in the Khanqa, he went for a stroll after Asr. He saw some new dwellings and all that. A little bit interested, a little bit nearer, so that Nawab had a whole tray of grapes. So now, Nawab, when he saw that, like, how you... So he just in passing, you know, I see this very interesting grapes, where you bought it, I'm going to buy some. So that person of nobility, if you talk to him like that, what he'll do? He said, well, I'm going to take this. So he gave the whole box. No, I didn't ask for it. In the meanwhile, Mulana... People that are in Islam, right? So he needs to have some structures that they're not misbehaving. Otherwise, the talk will go around the whole town that people are coming to beg here. So when Mona heard about this, okay, this person here was taking a walk, and this is what Chris he asked, and the Nawab had offered this. Mona told him, right, go out of the khan, move away. See, it needs to be corrected. Now the person is pleased, no, I didn't ask him. But why? What was the reason for you to ask this question? You know he's a man of nobility, respect. If you want to ask him this type of a question, then his pride will tell him, all right, never mind, give it, what's wrong? So he gave it away. Now you see the correction is done. It's a long story now, after that. But after that, just to end it up, just for half a minute now. The Nawab got to know that because of my offering the grapes, this person was taken out. In the meanwhile, he's got a heart condition. He's got a heart condition, so he complained, well, because of my naivety, this poor, sincere person, he's out of the khanqah. So And a mullah, you have to work it so well, because this person came for his reformation. If mullah says it to him, then just come back. Then the person, the reformation, correction will not take place. Because though mullah needs him now, therefore he's calling. So mullah is asking, alright, ask him, what does he want? So no, I beg to come back. So alright, come back. But you see the correction, how it has to be done. But what I'm getting at, to make the man into a man, what type of things have to be packaged into the person to make him a man? And for the product to be right, as you advertising for this product of Islam, it must go right and must seem right. Allah Pak Tawfiq.